for our Christmas series, as we go on a journey in Preparavior, each sermon will focus on a popular Christmas hymn. We'll look at A Journey of Longing, Come Thou Long-Expected Jesus, A Journey of Searching, What Child Is This, A Journey of Humility, O Little Town of Bethlehem, A Journey of Joy, O Come All Ye Faithful, and A Journey of Celebration, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of A Journey of Joy from our series, A Journey. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of A Journey of Joy.
And then got up this morning. Now, you know, I know the average pastor, you can probably ask Jerome or Emil this, and, you know, it takes a lot of time to put into your message. You just think about if you attended college and you had to do a term paper. You know, that's what doing a sermon is like. It's like doing a term paper, and you know all the studying and all the things that you had to do to get ready for that. And so I did all my work. Well, you know, and praise God, last week I had actually finished my sermon on Thursday. And so when I called Emil, see, that's the thing is, you know, when you got a little brother, you can get him to do a lot of things, right? And so I called him and I told him, I said, well, you know, even if you don't have a message, I said that I'm done with mine. And I can sit down with you, and we can go over the message. And he said, okay. So we did that. And I said, but now, you know, I want you to make it your own now. You know, I want you to put your own flavor in it. You know, so as I watched last week, I could see Emil was all in that message, right? Amen. So we thank God for that. Got up this morning, and my whole sermon was gone. And everything was corrupted on the file that I had. So I had to start over from scratch this morning. So a lot of the groundwork, a lot of the legwork, a lot of the study had already been done. So just had to put it together. So Jerome and Jeff, they were gracious to me, gave me a little extra time to study this morning. So that's why I wasn't out here earlier. So I certainly want to thank Jerome for stepping up and filling in. That was truly a blessing. So we've been on a journey, right? And this journey has taken us through a time of longing, through a time of searching. Emil talked about it last week, a time of humility. And today, we want to come and allow this journey to bring us to the place of joy. So if you would turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. And here we read, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings. Look at this now, of great joy. We're going to go somewhere with that this morning. We bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all the people. And we've been looking at hymns this season, talking about their meaning and significance. This morning our hymn is, O Come All Ye Faithful. And we want to tie that into this whole idea of being on a journey of joy. I want to take you on this journey. And as we begin the message today, I want to stop at two words in the text that we read. And in the text that we read, it said, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Great joy. That word great comes from the Greek word mega. You know, we talk about a megaphone. What does a megaphone do? It amplifies your voice. All right, so this is a great joy. But the word that I want to focus on here is joy. And it's the Greek word chara. You know, we look at charismatic. You know, we talk about, you know, the gifts. Well, the beginning of that word charismatic, chara, is the word joy. Now, a couple of things about this joy. First of all, this is a joy that is rooted in the character of God. This joy is rooted in God. You can't get this joy anywhere else. It says great joy, that the angel brought tidings of great joy. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Show you something about this joy here. Galatians chapter 5. And in Galatians 5, verse 20, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the Spirit is who? The Spirit of God. That is embedded in the character of God, that it resides in God, these fruits. Love, and we, you know what, we're going to stop right here. We don't need to go any further. We're going to stop right here, because notice the second fruit of the Spirit is what? Is joy. Charis. It's something that God has provided to us. Now, there might have been joy in the world before Christ came. Oh. But when Christ came and the Holy Spirit came, that we can experience joy in a way that others who came before us have never experienced, because we have the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. We are on a joy. We are on a journey of joy. And the only way you can find this joy is in the fact that Christ came. If Christ didn't come, we could not experience this joy the way that we can. Because the fruit of the Spirit, Christ said that I'm coming and that I'm going to leave a comforter with you. And who is that comforter? It's the Holy Spirit. And what did the Holy Spirit bring? The Holy Spirit brought joy. And this joy is rooted in a relationship with God. This joy is the kind that lets you know that everything between you and God is all right. No matter what we go through, no matter what issues we face, that we can know that things between us and the Savior are all right. And because they are all right, we can have joy. And this joy is not affected by the world. This joy that we have, that we get through the Holy Spirit, that was promised in Luke chapter 2, this joy that we have, the world didn't give it. You know what the rest of it is. And the world can't take it away. I was reading something that this joy that we have cannot be found in the world. And that ought to excite us. This joy that we have cannot be found in this world. You can search high and low, but you will not find the joy that the believer has in this world. Somebody put it like this. It is not in unbelief. Voltaire was an infidel of the most pronounced type. He wrote, I wish I had never been born. It is not in pleasure. Lord Byron lived a life of pleasure, if anyone did. He wrote, the worm, the canker, and grief are mine alone. You can't find it in this world. It is not in money. Jay Gould, the American millionaire, had plenty of money. When he died, he said, I suppose that I am the most miserable man on earth. Can't find this joy that I'm talking about. Can't find it in the world. The world didn't give it. Praise God. If they didn't give it, they can't take it away. It's not in position or fame. Lord Beaconsfield enjoyed more than his share of both fame and position. And yet he wrote, youth is a mistake. Manhood is a struggle. Old age is a regret. Can't find it in this world. This joy that the angel promised, this joy that the Holy Spirit gives, is not in military glory. Alexander the Great conquered the known world in his day. Having done so, he wept in his tent because he said, there are no more worlds for me to conquer. No more worlds for me to conquer. You know, I like that, the song. It says, you can search high and low. I've searched all over, and I have not found anyone like the Lord. Haven't found anyone like the Lord. You can search everywhere for this kind of joy. Now, in the world, we can have fun. In the world, we can have happiness. You know, just look at the TV commercials today. You know, you see people being happy. Why are they happy? You know, many of them are happy because it's, and we dropped the whole idea of Christmas season, right? We don't call it Christmas season anymore. What do we call it? The holiday season, right? And so many people are happy because it's the holiday season. Many people are happy because they're going to get gifts. Many people are happy because they're going to be with loved ones and have a time of eating and fellowship. Many people are happy because they're going to get time off from work. They're happy about that. But when you take the gifts away, when you take the food away, when you take the time off away, sad to say, you've taken many people's happiness. Think about that. Think about that. The reason that some people are happy is because it's the holiday season. But we know that Jesus is the reason for the season. And that because he is the reason for the season, we know that the angel said here that he brings tidings of great joy. Great joy. Mega joy. A joy that's not found in this world. And saints, I said it, and it bears repeating, and that is the joy that we have. The world didn't give it to me. The angel promised it. The Holy Spirit brought it. The world didn't give it to me. And so when things happen in my life, COVID, sermon being corrupted on the computer, right? The file being corrupted, my joy was not in that. My joy is rooted and grounded in relationship with Jesus Christ. And so as we go on this journey of longing, of searching, of humility, we come to the place this morning of joy. And do you have that joy? Do you have that joy? If I could sing, I sing deep, deep, deep in my soul. I got the joy of Jesus, and it's deep in my soul. Amen. You can't take that. You can't move that. And so we see as we transition into the song, oh, come all ye faithful, that is talking about having found this joy and what that means as a result of having found the joy. In the song, we see a great invitation. The song opens up with a great invitation. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. What an invitation to come. Now, you know, I've sang this song for years and years and years. And I never really stopped to consider who the faithful are. The song originally was written in Latin, and they didn't understand, you know, who wrote it. And then they discovered that it was written by an Englishman and later translated into English. But when we look at it, what did they mean when they said, come all ye faithful? Are you the faithful that they were talking about? Am I the faithful that they were talking about? And I began, as I meditated on this hymn, to think about, well, who are the faithful? Well, Watch this. One thing we can say for sure, that somebody that came was the shepherds, right? So if we don't know anybody else who this hymn was talking about, we know it was talking about the shepherds. So what was it about the shepherds that made them faithful? I like this. Notice what it says here in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very much afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel of a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds who had seen the angel, who had heard the message, who had received the message, and the shepherds said to one another, Let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste. They came with haste. So what do we see about the shepherds, right? They heard the message. They received the message. And they went out to be obedient to what they were supposed to do. That's what made them faithful. That's what made them faithful. Oh, you don't want to miss if you can make it here. How did the shepherds know where to go, right? How did the shepherds, I'm going to deal with that next week. How did the shepherds know where to go? Powerful teaching. Powerful teaching. How the shepherds knew where to go. You know, we see in the Christmas story that they're going around, you know, looking from place to place. No. The shepherds knew exactly where to go. It didn't say they lollygagged around or they tried to find the place where Christ, it said they went to the place with haste. They went with haste. Oh, it's going to be good. I learned something on that I have never seen before. How they knew where to go. They knew exactly where to go. And so, the shepherds are the faithful. So what can we extract from that? What we can extract from that is that if we have heard the message of Christ, if we have received the message of Christ, and if we have acted on the message of Christ, you are faithful. You are counted among the faithful. And so the song implores us, Oh, come, all ye faithful. And notice the place where we are called in the song. In the song. And we know in the scripture, Micah 5:2, my brother talked about it last week. In Bethlehem he was born. And so we are called to come to Bethlehem. You know, several years ago, I went to the Holy Land and love it. I definitely want to go back again, Lord willing, in this lifetime. But one of the places that we went was Bethlehem. So is the Lord in the songwriter, is the songwriter calling us to come, you know, to spend? Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. $4,000, right? In any trip that you take to the Holy Land, you know, it's going to cost you $4,000. That's why maybe the next time I go, I'm going to try to take a bunch of people with me because they said that pastors go free. The pastors go free. So, you know, maybe if I could get about 10, 15 people to go with me, my trip will be paid for. right? But if you're going to go to the Holy Land, it's going to cost you about $4,000, right? It's going to cost you at least that. And so is God and the songwriter, are they calling us to save up our money and book a trip to the Holy Land? No. That's not feasible for everyone. What is the call? Oh, come all ye faithful, you know, come to Bethlehem. What are we being implored to do? Let me propose this to you. That at least, at least once a year, we should go to Bethlehem. At least once a year, we should go to Bethlehem. No, that, I'm not saying you get on the plane and go to the Holy Land. I'm saying spiritually, in our minds and in our hearts, we should take a trip to Bethlehem. And as we take this trip to Bethlehem, we are beholding the King of Angels. As we take this trip to Bethlehem, we are beholding Christ the Lord. And so I want you to journey with me this morning. Let's go to Bethlehem. The song calls us to go to Bethlehem. The great invitation, oh, come all ye faithful. If you are here today and you have heard the message, you've received the message, you've acted on the message, you are the faithful. Come with me to Bethlehem this morning. And you're in my PowerPoint. I had slides that would take us to Bethlehem. But just in your mind, journey with me to Bethlehem. And let us look at the child in the manger. Let us look at the babe in the manger. And my brother, he kind of hinted on it last week. He dealt with it a little bit. But let's go to Bethlehem, right? Come and behold him, right? Look at the manger. What do you see there? You see a king who became a servant. You see a royal being who humbled himself to be born in a manger and to become a servant. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's look at the child. And as we look at the child, we see 100% God that we see as we journey to Bethlehem. Oh, come. Oh, come. As we come, we see the child who is 100% God wrapping around himself 100% humanity. That he never stopped being God. He always continued to be God. But now as we view him, that here he is taking on, now he's taking on getting tired, getting hungry, getting weary, crying. He's taking on these things. He didn't give up anything, but he's taking on these things as we visit Bethlehem. As we visit Bethlehem, let us look at a king who was worshipped in glory, accepted in glory, lauded in glory, but rejected on this earth. As we visit Bethlehem, and these next two things, as we look at that babe in the manger, are probably the two most powerful things.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of A Journey of Joy. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, A Journey of Joy, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Journey of Joy. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Journey of Joy, or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, A Journey, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. To Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.